Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Welcome, everyone, and have a good afternoon here for Frat House Radio. Excuse me, Fan Junkies Radio. We were just talking about the Frat House. I'm liking that.
Okay.
Hey, there you go. We're almost at Frat House Radio, too. So I'm Jonathan Ragus. It's always a fun time here at Fan Junkies. You know, just sports fans, and we're having a little bit of fun. With me, as always, is my buddy Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, man?
Jonathan, how we doing? I'm going to be honest. I'm a little bit tired, but we're celebrating over here at the Frat House. So
yeah.
I'm at the Frat House. And we just put together our 52nd straight weekly show of 5 minutes at the Frat House, and we just got that posted up on YouTube very, very early this morning. I think it was about 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dragging a little bit. But, you know, I got to tell you, I've checked it out, and 52 straight weeks. There is no other internet-based sports talk program that's been able to accomplish what we have. We are absolutely consistent, and I'm thrilled about it.
And I watched this morning, and I enjoyed it. The sidekick is Andy Reid.
Yeah, you had a few laughs on that one, I think.
Priceless. Considering that he likes pickles, that was the highlight. I had a blast watching that. I tweeted it out. I Facebooked it. And to all the Fan Junkies listeners here, I recommend it. Go and check it out. So, Mike, where can they find it?
Yeah, you go out to YouTube, and if you just search in 5 minutes at the Frat House, you'll find them all. And the most recent one is number 52. Next week we've got our big anniversary show. So
That was great. What do you have lined up for the anniversary show? Is it a surprise?
We're still working on a lot of plans, but the big thing is we will be out at McGurk's pub out in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, and we will be shooting that one on site. They're right there. So that's exciting right unto itself.
And does McGurk's have good chicken wings or what?
I know they got good cold ones.
Very nice. Very nice. That's always going to be fun. So let's dive right into it.
All right.
The first thing we're going to talk about today, and it's something that you and I have discussed over probably the last few days, is Phil Knight. The Nike chairman?
Yeah, well, he's the founder.
He's the founder. Yeah, that's right. He's the founder of Nike. He's going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame the weekend of September 6th. And Mike, you know, he owns Nike. You know, it's a shoe company. Why is this guy going into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you got me. I mean, when I first heard this one, I'm sitting there scratching my head going, what? Well, he's going in apparently as a contributor. You know, this is how they're phrasing it. Of course, he can't go in as a player, but he's going in as a contributor. And I'm going, okay. Well, you know, and then what do we got? We got, who's his presenters? Well, how about Michael Jordan and John Thompson? Are we figuring out can we connect the dots yet, huh?
It's something that I just can't get through my thought process and really come out with a positive reason of why this guy is being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And he's being inducted with such a good class of people who deserve to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Dickie V being one of them, correct?
I thought he was already in there.
Oh, no, he is. Oh, no, excuse me. Yeah, he is in there. But I'm trying to remember who exactly is being inducted this year.
I haven't seen the complete list myself. I don't know. The incestuousness involved in this one just really, really bothers me. I mean, you got Michael Jordan, all right, who, in my opinion, there's no other reason why this guy's going in except because of Michael Jordan. And then you got John Thompson, who sits on the board of directors of Nike. I mean, come on, folks. Are you serious? This is a payback. A contributor. Contributor to what? Listen, the guy contributed a lot of exposure and a lot of money. That's it.
Well, I mean, you know, he also contributed to emptying the pockets of parents whose kids wanted Nikes back in the day for a ridiculous price.
Oh, and into the future, huh? Because we got LeBron's $300 pair of sneakers hanging out there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know what? Don't get me wrong. The guy has done a lot, but I'm not going to say he has done a lot for the sport of basketball. I mean, what, you know, overpriced sneakers?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, why is this guy being inducted into the Hall of Fame when there are so many more deserving, and it's just taking a spot away from them?
Well, it's a, you know, I think it's obvious that it's a payback situation.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And it's Michael Jordan flexing his muscles. Oh, I can get this guy in. Watch me get this guy in. Look, hey, don't worry about it, Phil. I'll get you in.
I don't know. It's just ridiculous. There's really no reason why a guy like this should be put in. It's honestly like the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, let's put in Mike Tyson because he was in one match. You know, but it's ridiculous. You know, these people, he has nothing to do with the sport of with the sport of wrestling. Why is this guy going in for the sport of basketball?
Personally, between the NBA and the MLB Hall of Fame, I've actually become disgusted with both of them. I mean, you know, both of them.
Well, I hate to say it, I'm disgusted with the majority of Hall of Fames, to be honest. So, I mean, you know, it's the people who deserve to be in there finally get in when they're dead. You know, and when they should have been around to see it and have been in it for so many years before that, but yet they put in a guy like Phil Knight.
I won't paint with a broad brush and say the NHL's got it wrong. I think most of the time, you know, I think you see it pretty accurately with the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? There is some players that still deserve to be in the NHL that haven't been put in yet, and players who've only retired just a few years ago get put in before them. But that's in every Hall of Fame, and that's what really irks me. You know, it's not about the player who is most deserving of it and who's been waiting the longest. It's the player that, oh, well, you know what, he's a bigger name than the other guy.
Well, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the modernality of it. You know,
yeah.
In other words, I mean, if there's a guy, you know, that everybody right now recognizes, well, then that's the guy that's going to get in. Versus, say, you know, somebody who you know, is deceased and we've all long forgotten about them until we go and look up their stats. And you look up their stats and go, holy smokes, that's right, this guy should be there.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, you know. And the funny thing is, as I'm thinking about this, and I started to think about players who could be put in that, you know, maybe weren't the greatest of basketball players but had long careers, but they were such great humanitarians doing things for human life. You know, where is the humanitarian wing of this? You know, players like, even Dikembe Mutombo is one guy off the top of my head. This guy did so much with the money he made from playing basketball for other people.
Right.
Isn't this the kind of guy that you would want in your Hall of Fame?
Well, see, I guess it goes to what the standards are, and you'd have to go and take a look at what the individual standards are for inclusion into the halls.
They're crap. You know, come on, what? You know, a guy makes millions off of basketball fans by making a pair of sneakers and putting somebody's name on it, and he gets into the Hall of Fame? That's a standard?
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, what kind of standard is that? Unbelievable.
I'd like to hear from some callers.
You know what? I would, too. If you want to talk about this and, you know, if you think we're wrong or you have a comment about it, you can give us a call at 347-237-5373.
Hey, let us know whether you think Phil Knight should or shouldn't be going into the NBA Hall of Fame.
I say nay.
Absolutely. I agree.
And I'm sure a lot of other people, too, which is a good thing because I came across an article by Eric Freeman, Bull Don't Lie from Yahoo Sports, who I think is a phenomenal writer. And, you know, he says, you know, this honor is basically, you know, it just, you know, puts a whole damper on the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So
what was his reasoning for that?
Many different things. You know, he basically says by any metric, Knight and Nike have altered the course of basketball at every level. But, you know, it's still coming with tons of controversy.
Yeah. See, you know, I start to, you know, should business people be in sports Hall of Fames, really? I mean, I don't care what your business is, and I don't care, you know, how much you may have, quote unquote, contributed to a particular, you know, sport or professional or otherwise. Should business people who have never actually been on a field of play be in Hall of Fames? Or Halls of Fame? I have a problem with it, and I don't care which hall it would be.
No, honestly, they shouldn't be. I mean, if they do something that is so detrimental to the sport and it changes it for the better, or, you know, it's just something that goes on for so many years because of that person, then, yeah, I agree. Put them into the Hall of Fame because they did something for the actual sport. You know, to me, it should be basically just down to players and coaches and general managers. That's what I think. Even owners. I'm sorry. You know, an owner can bring a team into a city, yeah, but they can go through so many years of losing. Just because they win once doesn't mean that owner deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
What's to stop the NFL from putting them in? I mean, everybody's running around with a swoosh on their jersey now.
You know what? It's just, I don't know.
Yeah?
It's something mind-boggling, and it's something that you and I have talked about over the last couple of days, and we're both not happy with it.
No, it's stupid. Please, there's no other word for it. Stupid.
Agree. I mean, you know what? For putting this guy in, why isn't an Ahmad Rashad put in for NBA Insight stuff? You know, wasn't that doing something for the sport of basketball in the 90s when it was, it was still flourishing a bit, but it was still trying to drop here and there.
Absolutely.
You know, but we're going to put in a gajillion there because, he's filling his pockets with people's money. You know, it's just, I'm sorry. Oh, Mike, I tell you, man.
It kind of just smacks of a payoff. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, let's get off this guy before the whole show is dedicated to it because I'm sure more we could say about it. But something else happened over the last day or two that really caught our interest over here, and it's Andy Roddick. He's actually going to retire at the conclusion of the U.S. Open at 30 years old. And, Mike, what do you think of an athlete who can still play and still play pretty damn good and still has his athletic skill and talents retiring at such an early age?
The Roddick situation is an interesting one because I read through the entire, announcement press conference that he gave yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he insinuated, and I found this rather interesting. This decision that apparently he made was not a quick one.
No.
It was obvious that he had been giving this some thought for at least a year, and perhaps he even insinuated it might have even been longer than that.
Yes.
But he also insinuated that that there were some physical issues. And I found that interesting because he didn't get into any real specifics, but he kind of tied both physical issues in with some, kind of mental fatigue, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if the guy feels that, hey, that's enough, well, who are we to judge that? You know, that's kind of where I come with it.
No, understandable. But one of the comments he made, which kind of like really irked me a little bit because there's been so many players that, had to retire early due to injuries and they just couldn't stand being away from the game. And, he basically said, and I'm going to say this as, verbatim what he said. He goes, on some big moments this year, I think I've known I was done.
Right.
I felt like I knew. Playing here, I don't know what it was, but I couldn't imagine myself being here another year.
Right.
I mean, reading that, it just seems to me that he fell out of love with the game of tennis.
Well, and see, again, though, I still go back to what I just said, and who are we to judge that? If that's the case, and if he feels he just can't give it his all.
Mm-hmm.
And, really, when it comes right down to it, Roddick is not he's not the kind of guy that you hate. In fact, it's the complete opposite. He's a very likable guy.
Yeah.
And he gives a great interview, and he's fabulous in press conferences. He's very open. He's somewhat charming, actually. If he's saying that honestly, that I don't think I can give it the way that I used to,
mm-hmm.
and God knows the guy used to. I mean, he left everything out there on the court. Then I think that that's just being realistic. We as fans, would be disappointed. We could pick any number of our athlete, stars that we like personally. And you look at them and you go, oh, the guy's 26. Are you kidding me? Why would he want to hang it up now? And we can say that, but that's us making that judgment about them.
Absolutely, yes.
We might want it, but they've got to make the decision for themselves.
Yeah, it just, just so much, must have been going through his head in order to make that decision to retire at 30 years old. But great thing is he gets to go home to Brooklyn Decker. That's who he's actually married to. Lots more time with Brooklyn. Good for him.
Maybe that had something to do with the decision.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we got a caller coming in. 856 area code. How you doing? Hello, 856 area code. You there? Hello? No, I guess not.
Ah.
Dead air. We heard some dead air. 856 area code. If you want to call back in, call back in. We could not hear you. But yeah, Andy Roddick, 30 years old, retiring from the sport of tennis. And you know what? Good luck to him in his future endeavors.
Yeah, they were kind of, he was kind of joking around a little bit because apparently some of the reporters threw Federer at him. And of course, Federer is, I think, 30 himself.
Yeah.
And still playing and playing well. But, you know, Roddick made a good point in his press conference yesterday when he said, hey, guys, take a look at it. When you take a look at the players that came up with Federer and myself, hey, it's only us two that are left standing.
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody's putting the feet to the fire of the other folks who may have come up with these two guys. But suddenly, you know, Roddick's going to be questioned, you know, well, is it too early to retire? You know, mm-hmm. Well, nobody was asking that of the other guys.
No, very true. We're still taking phone calls here, 347-237-5373. If you have a question or a comment about anything we spoke about today here on Fan Junkies Radio. But we're going to dive into some football right now. Enough with Andy Roddick. But it's something that Mike brought to my attention this morning, and pretty crazy. What's going on there in Philadelphia Eagles land, Mike?
Well, Jeff Lurie came out with his, I guess it's been affectionately known in this area as his annual State of the Eagles address yesterday. And he went through a number of different things. I guess he talked our ear off for about 20 minutes before he took questions. And one of the questions that came up was about the Eagles situation last year. Now, the Eagles ended 8-8 last year. It was a very disappointing season for them. Jeff Lurie came out after the season and so much as stated so. He said he was not only disappointed, he said at the end of last season it was flat out unacceptable.
Mm.
And so, you know, for the longest time now, rumors have been running around the head coach, Andy Reid, who's now, I believe, in his 14th year with the team. And of course, a lot of the media here, you know, how long is Andy going to be here? That's the question.
Nice.
And the question was posed directly to Jeff Lurie yesterday. Hey, what is your barometer for whether Andy Reid, who's up for a contract extension at the end of this season, what's your barometer for what for, you know, whether he gets that extension or not? Well, Lurie came out and said outright, 8-8 ain't getting it done. 8-8, Reid ain't here.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it live, and I got to tell you, I was in the car actually driving when I heard it live, and I darn near had to slam the brakes on. I was a little bit shocked at the response.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, I guess I didn't expect an owner, particularly an owner where the relationship between the owner and the coach has seemingly been very, very strong for a long period of time, make that kind of an ultimatum. And it came as a little bit of a shock to me.
It definitely is a shock considering so much, you know, money and time invested in Andy Reid. And, you know, I mean, I hate to use it, but, you know, right after his son dies in order to say, you know what, this may be it for him. And 8-8 is unacceptable, which it is. I mean, you know, they've invested so much money in Reid, and I hate to say it, but they've thrown so many different people under the bus in Philadelphia, Don McNabb included,
mm-hmm.
that, you know what, I think it is about time that the Eagles get rid of Reid. You know,
right.
I don't think they're going to win with him. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's interesting because talking about the death of his son, his recent death, and Lurie addressed that, and some would say almost callously, because, you know, somebody brought up the issue. One of the reporters brought up the issue of Andy's recent loss and his family. And Lurie said, look, I'm judging Andy on his performance. We feel very badly about what happened in his family. But that's not coming into the equation. I mean, basically, that is what he said. You're not getting any sympathy votes from us is basically what it's coming down to.
No, well, you know, I hate to say it. I mean, I think Andy Reid has basically played out his sympathy vote for so many years already.
Well, you know, in some respects, you know, as a, you try to be a compassionate person.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, you sit back and you go, oh my gosh, that sounds terrible. At the same time, as a former business owner, I owned my own business for 10 years. You know, business is business, and well, there you have it.
Has nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? It's, you know, personal and business are two different things. You know, if something happens to you personally, I mean, you know, and it affects business, it's a different thing. But if something, you know, if you need to make a business decision, and unfortunately something recently happened to you personally, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, but, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I'm a Jets fan. I'm not an Eagles fan, but I have followed the Eagles for many, many years. I follow all NFL teams and NHL teams and you know, everything. But this team is not going to win with Andy Reid as its coach. All Eagles fans know that, and it's time to just finally let him go. And we're not talking about the sidekicks, Andy Reid. We're talking about the real Andy Reid.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm not prepared to make that broad brush statement just yet. You know, obviously we've got this season to play out. I think that, you know, as it's obvious that it's going, this is going to be the make or break year, obviously, for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I think Reid's got to get into the playoffs. I don't even think he has to win a Super Bowl. If he gets to the playoffs, he's probably going to be secure.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared to say that we'll never win a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia with Andy Reid. I'm not going to say that. Not that I'm a big Andy Reid fan or apologist, but there have been times I've wanted to just, you know, after some games, just kick him out myself. But
yeah.
I don't know.
He's just had too many years in Philadelphia. And to me, their best bet and their best chance of winning the Super Bowl was with Donovan McNabb. And unfortunately, they never really built around him. I mean, you know, you bring in wide receivers like Todd Pinkston and all these other guys, and you expect to win a championship with those kind of core or around a good quarterback. And now you have some good wide receivers. And I hate to tell you, but with those wide receivers and McNabb in his prime, I think the Eagles would have been better served.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the tight end, with Celek, with DeSean Jackson, with Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy behind McNabb. McNabb wouldn't have had to rush so much.
But I brought it up to you earlier, and just using the Reid issue as kind of a soundboard for a second. Tell me another coach, and I had only brought up Tony Sperano down there in Miami. Tell me another coach, though, that has been put on the hot seat by their owner even before week one. And there's no doubt about it, that's what Lurie did.
Yeah, I mean, I can't recall. I'm sure there has been one. I don't think it was just out of the blue like this, though, especially since they basically did their hurrah for him just a couple of weeks ago. Oh, Andy's our man. You know?
Right.
So, I don't know. But I think that may be it for Reid in Philadelphia, and I hate to say it, but I think a lot of Philadelphia fans are going to be happy if that does happen.
Well, happy. no, they won't be happy, because if Reid goes, it's going to mean we had a horrible season.
Yeah.
So, no, they're not going to be happy if it happens as a result of that. Personally, I don't think you're looking at an 8-8 season this year for the Eagles. I think you're looking at something somewhat better. That's my personal opinion.
Well, let me ask you this quick. We don't have that much time in the show, but is it going to be with Michael Vick, or do you think a Nick Foles is going to come in and take over if he gets injured?
Because
Nick Foles has looked damn good.
I agree. No, I think it's going to be Michael Vick personally.
Okay. Do you think Vick is actually going to stay healthy this season? Because it seems every time he gets touched, he goes down now.
I think we can anticipate that Nick Foles probably will see game action for at least two, maybe three games during the season. But I believe that Mike Vick will get his act together, and I believe that we will be a 9-7 or a 10-6, maybe even 11-5 team with him back there.
All right, not bad. All right, well, we got about 6 minutes left in the show, and just another topic we want to touch on pretty quick. We won't go too in-depth about it, but it's something that is bothering us over here at Fan Junkies Radio, and it's Tennessee Titans wide receiver Kenny Britt is basically going to be suspended for what, one game?
One game.
One game for his eighth run-in with police after being arrested for a DUI.
One game.
One game. So eight run-ins with the police, a DUI, and so many other problems during those eight run-ins with the police, and the National Football League thinks it's only deserving of a one-game suspension.
Yeah,
and the great thing is, and this is what's really funny, is that Britt actually came out and says that he's just going to take it on the chin, and he's not going to appeal the decision.
Well, okay. I guess he doesn't have to. Let's get it straight. He just got off the PUP on August 28th. So the bottom line was the Tennessee Titans probably weren't going to play him much in week one anyhow.
If at all.
Exactly. Yeah. So he just lost a game that he probably wasn't going to see much face time in to begin with.
Exactly.
This is a joke. This is a disgrace. And it, yeah, I got one question. I'd love to know what Jonathan Vilma is talking about and thinking about right now after reading this. Seriously, this is ridiculous.
It's disgusting, but you know what? This goes on with so many different players in the National Football League, and it just keeps trickling down. I mean, you're talking about various different players from the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, Dante Stallworth and his DUI and basically murdering somebody.
Yep.
You know, and he should not even be in the league. I'm sorry. He should be in prison. I don't care what it was. You ran over the guy, even if the guy was jaywalking or what, you were still drunk behind the wheel.
What was the comment you found from Goodell where he indicated, last season? Was it last season?
Yeah, it was Greg Aiello, the NFL spokesperson, said last August that the commissioner restated his expectation that Britt will be responsible for his actions going forward and noting that future incidents will lead to appropriate discipline. And I guess being banned for a game he most likely wasn't going to play in anyway was appropriate discipline by Roger Goodell in the National Football League.
Goodell talks out of two sides of his mouth. I'm sick of it.
I hate to tell you this, but you know what? I long for the days of Paul Tagliabue.
Absolutely.
That was a guy that I thought would be an excellent commissioner, and it was like, man, you know what? If you could take Gary Bettman of the National Hockey League, put him in a chamber, and basically suck his soul out and put Tagliabue something to Bettman, I think the National Hockey League would have been well served.
You know, this zero tolerance face that he puts on, Goodell.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get something like this. This is an outrage.
The funny thing is, you know, he goes after the New Orleans Saints,
right.
And you know, I agreed it needed to be done.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't do pay for hired schemes, and I'm sure most other NFL teams have done it for so many years, but they got caught with their pants down, and it was out in the press, so he had no choice but to do what he had to do. But you do something like that, and then you turn around and suspend a guy who had his eighth run-in with the police and within the last couple of years, and then a DUI?
Well,
and only suspend him for a game?
Some of those, Jonathan, weren't just DUIs, weren't they? Weren't they things like felony?
Yeah, he was. The charges were basically lessened on that felony charge that they brought up. I think it was. Wasn't last June. I can't remember exactly when it was, but I mean, you know, this guy basically belongs behind bars right now. I'm sorry.
We're not talking about a guy who's got a drinking problem who repeatedly goes out and gets behind the wheel of a car. He's got other crimes on his record.
Listen, it's not like he was publicly intoxicated and he was walking down the street with his pants down. You know?
Right.
You know, that stuff you could say, okay, whatever, one game banned. That's me. That maybe wasn't hurting anybody, but the fact remains is that he was behind the car, behind the wheel, drunk, and he could have seriously hurt somebody or murdered somebody. But when you look at Dante Stallworth, I mean, I guess if he murdered somebody, a five-game ban wouldn't have been so bad for him.
Well, and what did Stallworth kill the guy for?
Nothing.
No, he killed. What was the reason?
He was drunk.
Exactly.
Like I said, whether the guy daywalked or not, if he wasn't drunk, he probably could have had a better reaction time in stopping that car. You know, it's just absurd.
Oh, God. Absolutely, it's absurd. Hopefully, you know, the NFL rethinks it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
At least get more consistent, for God's sake.
It would be nice. You know, come on. I mean, you know, people pay money, to follow these leagues, and I'm sorry. It's just now these commissioners and these leagues, all of them are just playing games with the fans. It's just disgusting. All right, Michael, that's going to be it for the second episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I hope everybody listening enjoyed it, and I know we enjoyed it over here. And
Lively.
Exactly. Third episode will be on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Labor Day,
so it's going to be a fun one. So for Mike McShane and Jonathan Ragus, we thank you for being a part of Fan Junkies. You know, make sure you go over to www.fanjunkies.net and sign up. And just be a part of it. Friend us over there. And we'll see you all on Monday.
All right, folks. See you then.